Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. It's a Friday. News, information, all kinds of comments. Tell a friend he's on the air right after this. Nothing like starting off with really great news. God has created you with a longing to know that our presence in this old world counts for something. You count for something. Now, despite the fact that your Christian walk is a journey filled with temptations and obstacles and difficulties that are common to every man, according to 1 Peter 4:12. At the same time, your life should be characterized, your walk should be characterized by the fruitfulness that comes from following the supreme guide. Jesus told his disciples, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, me in him, he bears much fruit," John 15:5. How's your fruit bearing? As we carry out God's plans through the power of His Holy Spirit, our lives will have some real significance. You know, when you value something, it can be a thing or a person. You think about it often, right? You really know that thing. You can study this thing. You want to learn all you can. By studying the Bible, we learn many important things about God, including His character and His plan. And regular scripture meditation develops our ability to think biblically and deepen our relationship with the Lord. One of the indications that we can treasure in His Word is a change in your behavior, and you know that's true. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You get serious with God, things change. Decisions will increasingly be guided by, well, God's principles, and actions will reflect the fruit of His Spirit, Galatians 5:22. You know, God's truth has the power to expose ungodly attitudes and behaviors. And when this happens, the presence of kindness helps to protect relationships from any real damage. And it can also prevent discord and division in the church. The Lord wants us to speak the truth to one another, but to temper it with loving compassion. How you doing? What in the world is going on? Here an iPhone, there an iPhone, everywhere an iPhone. It seems like it. But the Justice Department, not happy. They sued Apple in an antitrust case yesterday, saying that the iPhone maker has a monopoly, you think, over the phone market that harmed consumers and developers and all rival companies. Apple's system, from the Apple Watch to Apple Pay, supports that monopoly, according to the feds. The challenge strikes at the very core of Apple's walled garden model and comes as regulators worldwide now scrutinize other tech companies. But the focus on Apple. They said its iPhone system that drove its astronomical valuation at the expense of consumers and developers and all other phone makers. They're the bad guys. The government's not ruled out breaking up one of the largest companies in the world, with the Justice Department saying on a briefing call that structural relief was on the table if the United States wins this one. Apple, iPhone, what do you think? Well, Congress unveiled a $1.2 trillion spending bill ahead of tonight's shutdown deadline. Like you did with your senior year thesis, lawmakers turned in their lengthy federal funding package yesterday just under the wire, though it's unclear if they'll have time to vote on it to prevent parts of the government from shutting down at midnight tonight. This is just a crazy game they continue to play, huh? So what's the latest leading up to the presidential election? Despite all the Democrat claims that recent elections in America have been the cleanest ever, you're kidding. Oh, there's undoubtedly been a lot of cheating, whether it's the FBI's interference in the 2020 election through orders to suppress bad news about the Biden family's international dealings, the Biden crime syndicate, that is, revealed in an abandoned laptop, or the undue influence of 400 million plus that Mark Zuckerberg handed out to election officials who largely recruited Joe Biden voters with it. That's on top of the rule changes, sometimes in violation of state laws adopted during the pandemic that allowed for drop boxes and ballot collecting an absentee vote virtually without limits. That thing was stolen. Trump should be president and everyone knows it. There even is a poll now that shows the elites in America, the top 1%, who often are Democrats, would rather cheat an election and win illegally than lose honestly. At least 69% of what the poll described as politically obsessed elite fall into that very category, ladies and gentlemen. So a report that documents how President Trump is ahead of Joe Biden in all seven of the swing states could be seen as an indicator of a coming election in which cheating, oh, it will, play a role. Trump leads Biden by 4% in Arizona. The least was Michigan with 1%, 3% in Nevada, 3% in Wisconsin. Four polls taken yesterday by Emerson College and The Hill. Oh, what's going to happen, do you think? Now listen up, all the Christian listeners, those of you that have trusted Christ as Savior, and you know it. How could any Christian vote Democrat? That's a really good question. I think John MacArthur brought that up several times. The pursuit and promotions of transgenderism. Do you believe in that, my Christian friend, in America? They've exploded under this fake president. And he's made that issue one of the key components during his term in office. And another one, of course, abortion, the murder of little babies. Do you agree with that? Democrat. So there have been male athletes taking athletic competition, oh, lots of them, away from girls and women. There have been cases of males barging into restrooms and locker rooms exclusively for women and assaulting those women, and worse. Children have even been taken away from their parents because mom and dad don't, because of their faith in Almighty God, believe the scientifically impossible presumption that somehow a male can become a female or vice versa. How many kids have been born to men? Just absolutely idiotic, moronic, demonic. But now one advocate for the ideology, a health club corporation, is learning that it's not always financially wise in their agenda to pursue this thing. A report from Fox Business News explains how Planet Fitness dropped a value of $400 million. Aren't they the biggest in the country? After it canceled a customer's membership for complaining about a man in the woman's locker room. You buffoons. Planet Fitness. Yeah, I'd rush over there, all right. Planet Fitness critics are saying go woke or go broke, calling on the fitness chain to receive the Bud Light treatment after an uproar of this transgender. I can't say that on the air. Oh, my goodness. Pray about it, my friend. There's just so many bizarre things happening. Christians sometimes don't know which way is up. Make sure you go to the Bible. Abortion, transgenderism. Oh, yeah. Well, here's the New America, really. A federal judge on Thursday tossed a conservative legal group's lawsuit against a controversial Washington, D.C. law. This is just unbelievable. That allows non-citizens, including illegal immigrants and foreign embassy staff members, to vote in elections. In a 12-page opinion, Judge Amy Berman Jackson, as if some people have 12 different, Amy Berman Jackson said the plaintiffs, a group of U.S. citizen voters represented by the Immigration Reform Law Institute, lacked standing to challenge the law because they could not demonstrate how they are harmed by non-citizens voting. Yeah, it makes no sense. The inmates are running the asylum here. With all of this, I mean, politics and the craziness from the court system, etc. You know, when you get saved, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man, any woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things will eventually pass away. You learn this new way of life. Let's do a little living in today's world on this topic. I mean, we've got to. In your Bible, you'll read about Corinth, a city characterized by sexual immorality and all forms of ungodliness, kind of like the direction of the New America. The believers there had once been just like their fellow citizens. I mean, they were filled with greed and envy and wickedness and lying and deceit and malice and all kinds of bad things, but now they were, hallelujah, new creations, indwelt by the Holy Spirit and adopted into the family of God. The Corinthian lifestyle no longer matched who they had become in Jesus Christ, and Paul reminded the believers of that city not to be influenced by their culture and those old patterns of thinking. Don't you do it. Read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. The apostle was not warning them that they might miss out on the kingdom. Instead, he was encouraging them to abandon that old way and bring behavior in line with who they really were, children of God. We, too, should know that salvation is permanent, and faith ought to have a positive effect on our conduct. You're different. You're a new creature. And furthermore, understanding the basis of our salvation, namely the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, is going to banish fear and fill us with hope. You got it today? This is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. It's a beautiful day in Christendom. You could never earn your way into God's family. You could never pay your own sin debt. Impossible. But the Savior willingly paid our penalty. He satisfied divine justice and the law's demands, according to Romans 3, 25 and 26. And to show that that sacrifice was accepted, God raised Jesus to life and brought him to heaven, where he reigns at the Father's right hand today, Mark 16, 19. What God has accomplished, pardoning our sins, giving us a new nature, and adopting us into his family, no one's going to undo that. And that gives us a living hope to sustain and uplift us in all of our days, no matter what's going on out there. Okay, what else is going on? Well, this one is a bit strange. Now, you can be on either side of the fence here, I think, as a Christian. A 62-year-old man with end-stage kidney disease successfully received a kidney from a genetically engineered pig at a Boston hospital. The animal organ began fulfilling its function of producing urine shortly after the surgery, and the patient has reportedly been recovering, doing very well, according to the New York Times. Biotech company eGenesis altered the DNA of the organ donor pig to make its kidney more compatible with the human body and eliminate the risk of certain animal pathogen infections. They say if this thing works, the breakthrough offers promise for more than 100,000 Americans on kidney transplant waiting list and of course, the human kidney shortage. People die every day waiting for a kidney. Sports news, my favorite time of the year to watch basketball. Boy, Oakland did it to number 3 Kentucky last night. That was an unbelievable game if you like basketball. And the Los Angeles Dodgers won their season opener in South Korea. But oh my goodness, this guy is making $700 million, a Korean. His interpreter was fired for, I think, stealing like $4 or $5 million from him. What a mess. What's Walmart doing? They're adding, some high-end products to more than 800 locations in a bid to lure in wealthier shoppers. Airline CEOs have reportedly requested an intervention audience with Boeing's board of directors to address the manufacturer's growing problems. Every day it's something. The Biden administration. Oh, what a great group. They canceled $6 billion in student loans for public service workers. And DoorDash has announced it's rolling out fast food delivery via drone in America. Means exactly what you think it means. Flying bacon and stuff. Dear me. And here's something to think about. It is good. The human heart was made with an internal beacon that nothing in this world can satisfy. Not money, not fame, not fortune. You will always have a longing for something this world can never give you. The only one who can fill that void in your heart today is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not get saved today? Where's my Bible? Life 101 is next. Where, you ask? InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com. That's where you can get our new book. I thought this was good from one of our Facebookers.
I really think that we need to explore the cost and the process somehow of getting Invisible War of the Saints translated into Spanish and looking to distribute in South America. Oh, that's thoughtful. I talked to Dave Allman today, and he's going to be heading to Belize, and he'll be taking a suitcase full of our new book, Invisible War of the Saints, to Belize. He already sent pictures his last tour there, and people holding the book, and we pray that it does something special. I talked to one of those, Butch Paul, who has a podcast, goes around the country out of West Virginia. He's a Free Will Baptist preacher who said, I don't understand why pastors, Baptist preachers especially, don't want to talk about the spirit world. Well, we did a show with him, and he said he's had more comments than about any show he has ever done. Well, hallelujah. It's having an impact. The message in so many different ways. It's now available in a 36-part TV series that you can get at swrc.com, 1-800-652-1144. One man with two earned doctorates that I highly, highly respect, Dr. Ken Copley, spoke about the book. He has read dozens and dozens of books on spiritual warfare, has counseled those in trouble for thousands of hours. He did this, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, for years. His comment on our book, his message, short and sweet. I believe the best book I have ever read on spiritual warfare. Talking about Invisible War of the Saints. And Lonnie Shipman, what a super evangelist, pianist that he is, said that the book Invisible War of the Saints went right to his very soul, like few things he has ever read. Wow. To God be the glory. He did it all. He just allowed us to be a teeny part. Thank you. So the question is there any sin too big for forgiveness in the eyes of Almighty God? The Bible tells us that if we seek God's forgiveness through confession of our wrongdoing, then He's faithful, He's righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. God's greater than any sin, my friend, and His love for us is unconditional and it is eternal. Sadly, many people fail to realize this, and they go through life feeling unforgiven. I've experienced that so many times in our meetings around the country. Even though forgiveness has been bestowed, they struggle with that guilt and a sense of inadequacy because of something that happened maybe years ago, maybe when they were teenagers. God's ultimate desire for us is that we would experience the freedom, like that word, freedom, which comes from accepting His pardon and grace. If your thoughts are haunted by memories of past sin, then you know how difficult it is to enjoy your life to the fullest. Much of the depression that plagues our society today comes from a crushing weight of guilt, does it not? But once you confess your sin to God, God forgives you. He restores your fellowship with Him. To continue feeling unforgiven is really self-defeating, for crying out loud. God's wiped away your sin. Don't you forget it. He remembers it no more. Isaiah 43:25. If you've confessed to God and you've truly repented, you are the only one who can resurrect the memory of that sin. A man, a woman, a child is what he thinks about all day long. What are you thinking about? One of the best ways I have found to put an end to such troublesome thoughts is to write out a confession to Almighty God, and then just sign the thing, and you date it. Then you go through the following scriptures concerning the forgiveness of Almighty God. Mark them down. Got a pencil there, pen? Mark them down. Psalm 86:5. Psalm 103:2, 3, and 4. Micah 7:18. Daniel 9:9. 1 John 1:9. And of course, Hebrews 8:12. Write out those verses alongside your confession. And once you've completed this project, read over what you've written there and consider what God has to say to you and about your sin. Then, across the page in big, bold letters, I'd write this: I am forgiven by God because of His Son's love and death at Calvary. Anytime the enemy tries to torment you with your past, hey, take out that paper and pray. I refuse to accept Satan's lies. Based on the death of Jesus Christ for my sins, I stand forgiven for eternity before Almighty God, and I refuse any attempt to cause me to doubt what Christ has done for me. Satan, you and your demons get away from me in the name and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ's death is sufficient payment for my transgressions. I am accepted and loved by God. I know it. I believe it. I think this could be called your declaration of independence. If Christ sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So I guess, again, the question is, are you free today? Most likely you would say that you are. Perhaps you would base your answer on the fact that you go most anywhere you choose and do what you like without anyone interfering in your life. Thousands of men and women have died at home and abroad while protecting our country from those who would oppress it. Good message for now, wouldn't you say? Or fighting to liberate maybe another nation. That's America. Freedom is always an expensive proposition. And this is especially true in a spiritual sense. Many people think that they have liberty because no one questions their activities or hinders their travel. And yet they're enslaved by all kinds of bondage. Anger and stress and workaholism, bitterness, unforgiveness, depression, anxiety, fear. More that can really imprison you. Any of this sound familiar? While a country can experience liberty on the battlefield, no nation is free until its people are free. And no person is free unless he or she is free on the inside. The truth is, there's only one way for a genuine liberation to happen to you, and I love it. John 8:36, if Jesus Christ makes you free, you will be free indeed. Paul's words from Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not subject again to a yoke of slavery. Remember what that was like? I was a slave to cigarettes, 4 packs a day. Alcohol. To understand Jesus' mission of liberating everyone who follows him, we must know what freedom really means. It's commonly defined as a liberty from any type of enslavement, or the opportunity and privilege to pursue one's desires and life goals without restraint or coercion from anyone. But greatest of all, freedom is to live a godly life through the power of the Holy Spirit. How are you doing today? We're never truly free until the grace and the goodness and the mercy of Almighty God becomes a reality in our personal experience. So there's the question, how are you doing? And finally, many of you will be able to identify with this one. The young woman brought her fiancé home to meet Mom and Dad, and after dinner, Mom told her father to find out as much as she can about this guy. The father invited him into the study to talk. So what's the plans? The father asked. I'm a biblical scholar, he replies. A biblical scholar? Well, the father said, admirable. Then what do you plan to provide? A nice house for my daughter to live in? I will study, the young man replies, and God will provide. And how will you buy that beautiful engagement ring that she so deserves? I will concentrate on my studies, and God will provide. And the children asked Dad, how will you support the kids? Don't worry, sir, God will provide. The conversation proceeded like this every time the dad asked a question, and the young idealist insisted God will provide. Later the mother asked, how'd it go, honey? The father answered, he has no job, he has no plans, and he thinks that I'm God. Yeah, that's today, the new America.
I'm done. Had my say for a Friday. Join me on Facebook, Greg Jerry G. Patton, PATTEN. And that's the way it is. March the 22nd, 2024. God bless you. Have a great day and a great weekend. See you Monday.